Good morning.
Good to see everyone here. Let's join in our gathering hymn, number 360, We Will Glorify. It's printed in your order of worship as well. First and last stanzas. Be seated. The Lord be with you. Welcome as we gather to worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church, and we say a special welcome to those who are guests in our service today. Thank you for being with us, and also those joining us by radio or on the internet. Thank you for worshiping with us today, and we invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime that you can. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let me mention a number of things to you. Our youth group will meet today at 5:30, and then our deacons will meet Tuesday at 6. Wednesday, we'll have Lenten lunch at Nebo Baptist Church, and then Wednesday evening, kids club at 6, choir at 6, prayer and Bible study at 7. And then, as most of you know, Sally Surface passed away. There will be a memorial service for her this Saturday, April 12th, at 2 o'clock at Turner Auditorium at Chowan University. And so please keep that in mind and hope that you'll be able to be there in support of the Surface family. We'll host the final Lenten luncheon next Wednesday, April 16th, and then our Easter egg hunt for children will be on Wednesday, April 16th at 5:30. There's information in the bulletin about that, about things that are needed and so forth, and you can contact Sarah Davis about that. We'll have Maundy Thursday communion on April 17th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And, of course, it's been our custom to place Easter lilies in the sanctuary for Easter Sunday. There's information in the bulletin about that. And the deadline for ordering them is Thursday, the 10th. So please keep that in mind as well. And we'll also flower the cross on Easter Sunday morning. And so be making preparations to bring flowers for that morning. Then on May the 4th, we will hold our quarterly church conference immediately following the worship service. So put that on your calendar as well. We are glad that you are here and we've come together to worship God. I invite you to join me in our call to worship that comes from Psalm 126. It's printed in the order of worship. If you'll join in on the bold print as we read together. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Let's pray together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Forgive us our sins as we come into your presence, and cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 354, Praise Him, Praise Him. 354.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O
Thank you. Be seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus say the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of God for the people of God.
The epistle lesson is from Philippians 3, verses 4b through 14. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. A concerning zeal persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, though as I counted for Christ. Yet, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of this resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Be seated. And thank you, girls. We appreciate that. As we come to our prayer time now, we have a number of folks that we remember in prayer today. Frankie Jones will be having surgery tomorrow at Duke, and we want to lift him up in our prayers. Trish Jenkins has been in the hospital, but is now at home and doing better, and please pray for her. We've also been asked to pray for the family of Jerry Brett. Of course, we want to remember the family of Sally Surface, also the family of Keith Bradshaw. Continue to pray for Genevieve and Chris Broadhead, for Jill Awuni and the death of her brother who lived in Ghana, and she will soon be going over to Ghana for a week or two to be with her family and for the funeral. Continue to pray for Gerald Taylor, for Randy and Cindy Copeland, the family of Faye Phipps Jenkins, and others, I'm sure, that are on our hearts and our minds that we want to lift up today. Of course, we want to remember all the folks who are suffering from the earthquake in Myanmar, and also those who are suffering from the flooding and tornadoes here in our own country. The last that I saw, I think there have been 16 who've been killed in those storms. So let's join together in prayer now, and I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. O Lord, our God, who calls us into a genuine relationship and fellowship with you and with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you have been after all along, isn't it, Father? When you created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, before they sinned, you came down in the cool of the day and walked and talked with them. You made Abraham your friend and promised him that his descendants would be your people. You redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, making them your people and giving yourself to them to be their God. And you sent your Son to show us your love, to show us a life in perfect, obedient fellowship with you, and to give himself on the cross to save us and to make it possible for us to know that relationship and fellowship with you, and to rise victorious over death so we might experience and enjoy that relationship with you throughout all eternity. All glory and praise to you, Lord. And we thank you that because you have made yourself known to us in this kind of relationship and fellowship, we can communicate with you in prayer daily as we spend quiet time with you, daily as we go throughout our lives and we stay in contact with you. But then also, Lord, as we come together as your people, that we can spend time in prayer communicating with you. And we thank you, Lord, that with our thanksgivings and our praises, we can also lift up our petitions and intercessions to you. And so we come to do that now, Father. There are so many who are hurting so badly because of disasters in our world. And we lift them to you now, Lord, and ask your help and your grace for them. Where lives have been lost, we pray for comfort. Where property has been lost, we pray for assistance. Father, for those who don't know you, we pray that that you would come to them, and that through deeds of mercy and love, that their hearts would be opened to hear words of witness, that they might turn to you. We pray, Father, that you would help all those who've been affected, ministering to them and comforting them in their time of loss. Father, we pray for the work of your kingdom in the world, and for your church throughout the world, and for your church here in this place. We thank you, Father, for the ways that you work among us, and we pray you would continue to do that. And Father, that you would help us, that as we seek to reach out in deeds of love and mercy and in words of witness, and through the example of our life together as your people, that others will be drawn to you and will put their faith in Christ and follow him as a part of your people. We pray, Lord, for your church throughout the world, in all the places where it is present, and that as your church lives faithfully and bears a winsome witness, that many will turn to you. Lord, we pray for our country, for our state, our town, for our civil leaders at all levels, for those who protect us, our first responders. Lord, we ask your blessing and help for them. We pray, Father, for those who are sick or injured, for those who are recovering from surgery, for those, Father, who are dealing with chronic illness. We ask your help for each of them. We pray, Father, for those who are grieving. We've mentioned several families this morning who have lost loved ones recently, and we ask your help for them, and pray especially for the Surface family and their loss. Father, we pray for children and for young people, for those who teach them, those who parent them, those who guide them, for our students, Lord, for our college students, for the students, faculty, staff, and administration of Chowan. We lift them to you, Lord, and ask that you would work to help young people follow Jesus faithfully. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you, and we pray for those who do know you but are not walking with you, and pray that in each of those lives that your Spirit will work to open minds and hearts and draw them to you. Father, we have many other things that are on our minds and our hearts this morning, and we lift those to you as well. For we know that you know all things. You know our thoughts even before we think them. So we lift our prayers to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God now and forever. And Lord, we lift our prayers together as with one voice in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving this morning is number 640, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Number 640. Please stand. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's pray. As we come to present our tithes and offerings to you now, O Lord, remind us of how you gave for us your most costly sacrifice, your only begotten Son. Gave him on our behalf and for our salvation. Help us to give generously and gladly in gratitude for all you have done, all that you do, and all that you will do for us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes in worship, if we're not careful, we do things so often and do them the same way, and ritual is a good thing. But sometimes, if we're not careful, if there's just a little difference, we'll do the wrong thing. Like just then, when I heard Heimberg tune, I started singing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Sorry about that. Oh, man. Well, what's important, though, is that we offer our worship to God with a pure and sincere heart, that we lift our praise to Him because we love Him and because we want to serve Him and honor Him. This morning, our text, we've been working from the Gospel according to Luke, but this week we're going to leave Luke and we're going to look at the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And then next week we'll go back in Luke's Gospel. John 12, verses 1 through 8. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there and follow along as we read. John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." May God bless the reading and hearing of His holy word. Let's pray. And so, Lord, as we look into Your word now, we pray that You would speak to our hearts. As we meditate on it, we pray that we would be drawn closer to You. And, Lord, that in this beautiful story, that You will speak to us about what it means to live as Your disciples together in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. It's a beautiful, simple story, and yet so true to the way that John writes. This beautiful, simple story is incredibly profound. Jesus and His disciples had come to Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem, where Lazarus lived. And Jesus would soon enter Jerusalem to begin the final week of His earthly life. But for now, He wanted to be with His dear friends, Lazarus, and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now notice that John reminds us that this Lazarus is the same Lazarus that Jesus had raised from death not too long before. And it wasn't just that he had just died and he raised him. Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. To the point that when Jesus came to the tomb, when he said to take the stone away, Martha said, "But Lord, by now he stinks." That's how long he'd been dead. But Jesus had raised him. And now Jesus came to spend some time with them. You see, this family not only knew and loved Jesus, through this incredible experience of Jesus' bringing Lazarus back to life after he had been dead and buried for 4 days, they loved him and knew him as few others do, and beyond the love of most of his followers. So it's not surprising that they'd participate in a supper, or a dinner if you prefer, given in Jesus' honor. Now, Matthew and Mark tell us that this supper was hosted in the home of Simon the leper. John doesn't make it clear where it is, but Martha is there serving. But you know, that's what Martha did. She loved to serve. And so she's there helping serve the meal. Lazarus is one of those who's at the table with Jesus. And while he's sitting there eating and talking with Jesus and sharing fellowship and communion with him, Mary slips away and then she comes back. And when she comes back with her most costly treasure, a jar of perfumed ointment made from pure nard from India. Incredibly expensive. Incredibly expensive. To give you a sense of how expensive, this is the kind of thing that you'd save up for a long time to buy and hold on to so that when your family member dies, you use it to anoint their body to help cut down as much as possible on the stench from the tomb as the body starts to decay. Mary brought this incredibly expensive perfume, and while Jesus was being served by Martha and was sharing in fellowship with Lazarus and the others at the table, she knelt down and anointed his feet with the ointment. And then, in humble adoration, she let down her hair and began using it as a towel to wipe the excess from his feet. And John tells us that the fragrance filled the room. It was an awesome act of adoration. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that everybody would have thought that it was an awesome act of adoration too, wouldn't you? But no. John doesn't tell us what everybody thought, but he does tell us what one person thought. Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him. Judas piped up and said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Now, to give you an idea about that, a denarius was a day's pay for a laborer. So in that day, 300 denarii would be a year's wages. A year's wages. And you know, what Judas is saying sounds good. Okay, let's not frivolously waste this. We can really do some good with the proceeds. John tells us, though, that it was not concern for the poor that made Judas say this. He said it because he was a thief. And he kept the common money purse for them. And John tells us he used to help himself to what was in it. Boy, 300 denarii, year's wages, he could have helped himself a whole lot, couldn't he? Well, John also reminds us that it was Judas who was about to betray Jesus. And so there was Judas criticizing this awesome act of adoration. To him, the supper was fine. Okay, let's give a supper in his honor. To him, it was fine for them to be sitting around the table and eating with Jesus. It was fine for Martha to be one of the ones who was serving the meal. But what Mary did, anointing the feet of Jesus with this costly perfume, that was just more than Judas could take. But Jesus responded to his criticism by saying, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." In one swift saying, Jesus completely reframed the issue. While the supper was given in his honor, his one disloyal disciple had tried to attack an awesome act of adoration as a waste, as a squandering of resources that should be used for practical, real ministry. But in reality, wasn't there something much deeper going on here? Something more sinister that was going on here? On one side was a grateful soul who wanted to lavish her love on the one who had welcomed her as a disciple. Remember, in Luke's gospel, she was sitting at Jesus' feet with the other disciples, listening to him as he taught. Other rabbis didn't allow that. But Jesus had welcomed Mary, Not only that, but he had already raised her brother from death. And now, he was about to give his own life in a death that would bring salvation from sin for anyone who would trust him as he rescued and redeemed a people for himself. But then on the other side, there was a disciple who didn't understand what Jesus came to do. And he was evidently disgruntled because it was becoming apparent that he was going to be disappointed in Jesus. That Jesus wasn't going to be this great deliverer from Rome that he was looking for. His expectations weren't going to be fulfilled. Mary wanted to give Jesus her most precious treasure. Judas not only didn't want to give his most precious treasure, he wanted to keep her from giving hers as well. Have you ever taken a good look at a painted portrait of somebody? The kind of portrait that I'm talking about is different from a photographic portrait of a person, because that photographic portrait captures everything about the appearance of that person at the moment that it was taken. A painted portrait, on the other hand, the artist tries to capture the essence of the person. And sometimes it doesn't always look exactly like the person, but the things that the artist includes tells you something about the person. I remember many years ago I was preaching in a friend's church, and we were visiting in their home, and that Sunday after the service we ate lunch at my friend's mother's home. She lived in the same town. And in her living room was a large portrait of her husband, who at that time had been dead for 25 years or more. But you know, when you looked at that painting, you could get a sense of the kind of person that he had been, because that's what a good portrait does. When I look at this story in our text this morning, I sometimes wonder if John isn't painting a portrait for us here. A portrait. Of course, there are several characters in the story, so you might say, well, which one's he trying to paint? Well, I think that rather than trying to paint a portrait of one particular person, I think he's trying to portray something bigger. What it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe with this story about being at supper with Jesus, John was painting for us a portrait of the Christian life. Think about it for a minute. Who is at the center of the picture? It's Jesus, isn't it? He's there at the table. The supper is given in his honor. Those who are eating with him are described as being at the table with Jesus. The focus is on Jesus, not on those with him. He's the center of it all. His presence in it gives definition to the entire work. And then, look at Martha. There she is, scurrying about, back and forth, serving. That's what she does best. Making sure everybody has everything they need to enjoy the meal. She wants everything to be just right for Jesus. She wants to do everything she can to make him comfortable and to make his meal enjoyable. And she knows that when the others are enjoying it, he will enjoy it more. Look at Lazarus. He's one of those at the table with Jesus, and why not? He knows what Jesus has done for him. He was dead and buried, and Jesus raised him, literally brought him back from death to life. And now in love and gratitude, Lazarus wants to spend as much time with Jesus as he can. He simply wants to be with the one who has done so incredibly much for him. But for Mary, doing for Jesus and being with Jesus are so important, but somehow they're simply just not quite enough. Not only is he at the center of this picture, he's at the center of Mary's heart. So in an act that could only be described as extravagant, Mary offered her most precious treasure to Jesus. But she didn't just offer her treasure. She offered herself as well, as she unbound her hair and used it as a towel to wipe the feet of her beloved Lord. Somehow or another, she knew this was connected with Jesus' coming death. Now, she probably didn't fully understand it all, but she did seem to understand that in Jesus' death, God was going to do something to accomplish his redemptive purpose. She had intended to keep the perfume to anoint his body for burial, but somehow she felt compelled to go ahead and do it now. But he simply, Judas that is, couldn't fathom this extravagance. He couldn't see the value in what Mary was doing. He could see some value in Martha serving. He could understand why Lazarus so desperately wanted to be with Jesus, but he just simply couldn't fathom what he saw as a waste as Mary poured this perfume on Jesus' feet. Now, when we look at that portrait, doesn't this all ring true to the Christian life? Isn't Jesus at the center of the picture? The picture of the truly Christian life? Isn't his great redemptive sacrifice what governs our relationship with him? Isn't our service a grateful response to his grace? And isn't it an integral part of the Christian life? Aren't fellowship and communion with Jesus as a part of our larger fellowship with him vital to our walk with him and our relationship with him? And don't all these go a long way in a life that honors him, a life of worship that understands at least to some degree who he is and who we are in relationship to him and is lived out accordingly? When Judas compared Mary's adoration of Jesus with Martha's service and Lazarus' fellowship with him, it seemed the least important, wasteful, even frivolous. But Jesus commended Mary's extravagant act. Because you see, there are times when service simply isn't enough. When even our sweet communion with Christ as a family of believers is not quite enough to express our love and our worship of Jesus. Sometimes only a truly extravagant act of love and devotion will express our worship in a worthy way and is worthy of our relationship with Jesus, especially when we think about the magnitude of his extravagant love and sacrifice for us. Well, Judas and his kind would paint Mary's extravagant act of worship as wasteful and senseless, maybe even as wrong. But I'd submit to you this morning that such extravagance in the expression of our adoration and love for Jesus is no waste. Sometimes a great sacrifice on our part is the only appropriate response and expression of our gratitude for his great sacrifice on our behalf. What would this mean for you? If you were to give an extravagant gift of love to Jesus, what would this mean for you? What would it involve? What kind of extravagant gift or act could you give to Jesus to show your love and gratitude to him? Do you see John's portrait? The Christian life is a life of worship that honors Jesus through service and fellowship and adoration. We honor him because of his great love and sacrifice for us. And so I have to ask myself, with all he's done for me and for all of us, how can I not serve him? How can I not want to be with him, to share in communion with him? And how can I not pour out myself and all I have to the one who poured out his life for me. What about you? What about you? Let's pray. Oh Lord, what you have done for us is so far beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. Your mercy and your grace that sent your Son astound us. The fact that you gave him while we were still sinners amazes us. And Lord, the fact that the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity, willingly gave up his glory, took on human flesh, came here, lived among us, and humbled himself, even to the point of death on a cross. Lord, that's just more than we can get our minds around sometimes. But Father, help us. Help us to have a better understanding of it. And help us to respond in ways that honor and glorify him. Ways that express our gratitude and our love and devotion to him. Bless us now, Lord, in these moments of reflection and commitment and response, and help us to be obedient to you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as you reflect on this sermon, what is God speaking to you? Is there some act that he's calling you to, some particular expression of love and gratitude for what Jesus has done that he's calling you to? Well, this morning, would you be obedient to him? Would you commit to that, to do what he's calling you to do? You can make that commitment where you are. You don't have to tell anybody but God about it. But if you do feel the need to share it, we invite you to come. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, think about what he's done for you. He left the Father's side in heaven and came here as a human being and died on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven and we might be set right with God. He rose from the dead victorious so that we might live with him forever. Maybe that extravagant act he's calling for from you is to give your life to him, to follow him as Lord and Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? If so, we invite you to come and share that good news as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 660, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
Thank you.
thank you for being here this morning as we worship God together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts as we go from this place. We pray that you will help us always to honor and glorify you in all that we do. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to live in a way that expresses our gratitude to our Lord Jesus, our love for him, that in serving him, in spending time with him, in extravagant acts of love, we would truly adore him, worshiping and serving him. Father, help us always to honor him and to be faithful disciples as he teaches us how to live as you would have us to. And so now, brothers and sisters, as you go forth to follow Jesus as his disciples, living a life of worship through service, fellowship, and adoration, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.